I don't know that I've ever heard that song. Sound like a pretty good message preached through that song, didn't you? A lot of folks try to find reasons not to serve God, and one thing people say is they can't live it. And if anybody's here that says you can live it within yourself, then you're fooling yourself. Anybody with me? If I could live this without the blood, there wouldn't have been no need for Jesus. If I could have gotten good enough, I tried that, and there still come a place I still had to come to Christ, and he had to give me that strength, and still from then I still am an imperfect person serving a perfect God. How many is glad of the perfect God? And, you know, my mind goes back. Of course, it's still fresh on my mind is Jeremy, and he has went through a lot of battles, and he has been out there in sin. And the one thing just kept coming to me, it seemed like, you know, about every time he'd come to church, he'd hit this altar. And I can tell you, folks, if you want to make heaven, I say grab a hold of the horns of the altar and hang on and pray. And I kept coming to me when Jeremy was praying. I said, son, God sees that you're trying. I mean, he knows that. Now, if there's anybody that will know when somebody just faking and trying to do your own thing, God knows that. But God also knows when you're going through a battle and you're struggling and trying, but yet you're just not able to get it. Just a battle. Anybody ever had a battle? I can tell you right now, there's nobody ever was just born a super Christian. Anybody ever seen that? Amen. So I was never born that way, and I'm still not no super Christian, but I'm serving God, and I tell you what happens, folks, as we go along, things get a little easier. It gets a little bit easier to serve God. Has anybody ever noticed that? You have more faith, you have more confidence, and he brings you through some things that just gives you strength. And it's an honor to be here this morning. Good to have our visitors with us. I don't know what kind of pills me and the wife took last night. We just don't feel good today. Anybody ever had days like that? Well, God's still God. How many knows God's still God? Amen. God's not affected by how you feel, but God can sure affect how you feel. He can make you feel not only physically better, but he can make us feel spiritually better and in our lives. And I'm thankful for that. And we kind of backtracked last Sunday from another message and had been preaching quite a bit on the seven churches that in Revelations. And I tell you, the church you needed to be here on to hear the message was Sunday night before last. And that was the good, encouraging one to be on. And it seemed like these other churches, God's got some messages for us. And I still stand here today and say, Counselful Gospel, not saying we're perfect, but we are going the right direction. We're praying, we're expecting, and we're seeing things happen. How many's noticed that? Anybody here excited about Jesus? And we're seeing things happen the right direction. But I tell you, I believe that as individuals, we can take some of these churches and apply them to our lives and where we're standing. And the Revelations chapter 2, if you've got that found or can find that for me, and you can read along with us. Don't know exactly. May get very to the point today on some things. I don't know. That's, you know, some preachers are so talented they can write down their messages and read them and preach them. If I wrote them down, I couldn't read them. So I just have to let the Lord lead me. And therefore, he knows more than I know, and sometimes he gets me on things I don't plan on. Has anybody ever had situations like that? Just don't have plans on these things, and God knows more than we know, and I'm thankful, and it's once again good to have everybody here. I hope you've had a blessed week. I hope you didn't eat the same thing me and the wife ate last night, and you don't feel good. Anybody here feel good? Well, two or three, that's good. All right. Maybe you'll rub off on the rest of us. Stand with me. Revelations. I'm starting to feel better. How about you? Revelations chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 12. And bear with me, I forgot my glasses, so help me, Lord. And the angel of the church in Pergamos write these things, saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest. Even where Satan's seat is, thou holdest fast my name, hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them, which with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. Unto the churches, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give to him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. I ask that you would move in the remainder of this service. Lord, anoint us to say what you want said. Lord, we just praise you for everybody that's here, and thank you that your presence is among us here today. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you, we pray that you will touch their hearts and deal with their hearts today, and your mercy will endure, and your grace is sufficient, Lord. Touch lives today, maybe those going through battles and needing strength. Strengthen them today, we pray. Lord, again, we ask you, anoint us to say what you want said. In your precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. Amen. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Now hold my name fast. And this church of Pergamos had a contrast, I think, and maybe a type of some things we see today. There's a lot of things out in this world, this that we deal with is directly tied to Satan. How many knows that? Now, I don't know how excited we're going to be this morning. I don't know how much shouting y'all going to do. Y'all going to shout this morning for victory? Tell you what, Brother Bobby takes off running. You'll say it's God. He's got a cast on his leg back there. Amen. How many believes God's still God? Now, God didn't call me to browbeat and knock down and make you feel like you can't make it to heaven, but God did call me to warn you. We had a great lesson this morning, and I think that probably the most thing that's missed in Christians' life is simply this. God didn't call us to be served. He called us to serve. Christ didn't come to be served. He come to serve. Does that make sense to you? I didn't come here. I come here to be a servant, to maybe say something might help you this morning. How many wants help? Amen. Now, here's what happens a lot of times in our life. And I guess if I had a title today, it'd be, where are you sitting? Makes a difference where you sit. I'm going to have some good news here before this is over with. So let's deal with the bad stuff first. How many wants to deal with the bad stuff? I remember, William's not here, so I can talk about him. Brother Daryl, don't give him this tape, okay? Here a few months ago, he come to the house, and there was this video that he was going to be doing some workout with. And I said, son, I said, be careful. I said, it's great to work out, but I said, there's a segment in there they advertise. And I'm just going to deal with some things that we deal with. Now, they were worshiping Balaam and the Nicolaitans, and this was some ungodly things going on. And we're not dealing some of the same things, so to speak, as they are, but there's a lot of things in this world today that we deal with that I believe I need to address this morning. Because, listen, I can't just get up here and tell you everything's okay, let your kids do what they want to. No, just go right ahead and glory be to God. There's some things out there to be warned about, and I feel like this is a warning day this morning. And he come to me. You say, this is minor stuff, preacher. You're too old-fashioned. I'd rather be called old-fashioned and be a conservative and things along that line and make heaven than to say, man, you were too liberal. That's just me. You can be what you want to be, but I want to live close to God. Amen. Here he comes to us. I said, listen, son, this video has got a subject in there, a particular part of that video that you need to be careful about. He said, what is it? I said, there's a section there that's about yoga. And he said, didn't say anything. So I know what happened. There was a really, really, really good friend of his was telling him, there ain't nothing wrong with that. So he came to the house one night, and he was ready to let Dad find out and say what was going on. He said, all right, Dad, what's wrong with yoga? I said, well, son, I haven't done a lot of studying on that, but I said, I just feel like, and I'm pretty certain, there are just some things in there that doesn't need to be, you don't need to be involved in as a Christian. And so I think it was me or maybe his mom or somebody, so they just went and got old Webster. Pulled old Webster up and plopped that thing open, and the first line in that was Hindu spiritual connections. And he opened it up and said, oh, I see what you're talking about. This is what you're going to say. I said, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Now you say, preacher, that I said, if you want to meditate, I said, you meditate on Jesus. I said, if you want to focus on something, you focus on Jesus. Anybody with me? Well, this is starting off great. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. No, preachers are preaching against yoga. What kind of preacher is this guy? Well, this is a preacher that believes God is God, and there's enemies out there. There's the devil out there trying to deceive and destroy our kids. Not only our kids, but our minds also. Oh, you're getting pretty easy on things. Well, I talked to the Lord about that. He's the one who brought this Pergamos church up to me. And you say, well, what's happening today? Well, I can tell you right now, there's forces and demonic powers out there that will put us in a place, and we don't want to be sitting in that place. I can tell you that right now. What does that mean to me, preacher? I tell you this. There's the little things. How many knows the scripture says the little foxes spoil the vine? Now, has anybody noticed the signs all over Harrison saying we're dry, even on our sign out here, vote dry? How many's noticed that? I can tell you right now, I can just be 100% sure there's not one alcoholic out there that sat down and said, well, I'm going to become an alcoholic. You know how they started? They took a little sip, Brother Frank. The next thing they took, another sip. And the next thing they know, that thing had them consumed. Where are we sitting, church? Listen, this is the most important thing as we as Christians. He said, look, I see the good things you're doing. I see you're faithful. I see your works. I see the thing, but I've got somewhat against you. You're allowing. You've still got some of these Nickelodeon ways of style. There's some pagan worship going on there. There's some things you've not let go of. And he said, there's one way to cure that. He said, simply repent. Well, we're preaching good now. Hang on, it's getting better. I wrestled, and I said, I'm not talking about these subjects. He said, talk about it. Glory. Maybe I can preach on the Church of Philadelphia next Sunday morning, maybe. That's exciting, church. Everything's going good there. No things to deal with there. Well, you say, preacher, what are you trying to talk to me about? I'll tell you, church, our young people are being destroyed by the multiple thousands because of garbage in this world that parents have allowed their kids to be a part of. Preaching really good now. I can tell you right now, when you flip on MTV, come on, when you flip on the garbage that's on the TV, you said, I didn't come to hear this kind of preaching. Well, listen to me. I got to preach it to you, then you can make your decision when church is over. Amen. Here's what happens. There is a seducing power of darkness out there that's trying to get your kids and my kid to sit down at the seat of Satan. Whoa, you say, preacher, things like that don't work anymore. Can I tell you right now, those that have committed murders and those that are mass murders, if you, now listen, this is controversial, but I can tell you right now, if you back it up and you look back at where some of the roots of this come from, I can tell you right now, the rock and roll music has got a satanic force behind it that will destroy your mind, it will grip your soul, and you'll find yourself doing things you didn't mean to do. Thank you for those two amens. And here's what happens. Can I tell you and get really deep in this morning? As we come, the Holy Spirit of God draws us close to Him. And church, I can tell you right now, there is a satanic power out there. Again, I say, where are we setting? Be careful what you get involved in. You see, yoga is a small thing. Can I tell you right now, the devil is a big thing. He's a power that you and I cannot overcome. It is only by the grace of God. It is only by the deliverance of the power of God that we can be delivered from these things that can grip our lives. Praise God. What seat are we sitting in? Be careful where we sit down at. It makes a difference where you sit down at. Our son felt like that he was no doubt wasn't able to live while he was a young boy growing up because his mama had a thumb on him and I had two thumbs on him. No, maybe vice versa. I had one thumb. She had her whole both hands on him. That boy couldn't hardly breathe sometimes. And I tell you what he'll do right now. He'll tell you right now, I believe, if you'd ask him, he won't regret one thing he's not been involved in out there. Because when I saw something and my spirit didn't bear witness with it, and when you've got God's spirit in you, he'll let you know when it's the wrong thing. Praise God. He'll let you know when you're sitting around the wrong things. Listen to me, young person. He'll let you know when you're involved in the wrong things. Young adults, he'll let you know when you're involved in the wrong things. Whew. Well, Hollywood will send your soul to hell. Most of our young people's back, little, our younger people's back there in children's church, less older people remember about this. We was very fortunate in the things that our son wanted to do. There wasn't a lot of things out there. There's some parents have had battles with what their kids have wanted to get involved in, and we was very blessed, but I want to tell you right now, it still doesn't change God. Because they want it and throw a fit doesn't mean they need to get it. Woo, preaching good now. Now, can I tell you this? If you look like it, and it looks like it, and they want to model their lives after it, why would you allow them to be involved in it? Well, let's just get out there where we're at. Can I tell you right now? If you look at Madonna, Lady Gaga, that's just two or three that I know of. If you look at those lifestyles and what they promote, why would you want your kids involved in that? Also, this is very controversial. Michael Jackson, come on, somebody. Ungodly way of living, hello, somebody. Anybody with me this morning? I'm talking about where are we sitting? He said, you've done some good things. You've been faithful in some things, but there's some things you're involved in you're going to have to get away from. Folks, I can tell you, this is not what I want to preach. I don't like to preach about things like this, but I'm still going to say what God said. It makes a difference where we dwell. It makes a difference where we sit. It makes a difference what we're involved in. It makes a difference what you hear. They come down on folks, I think they should come down on the music industry. You know why? Because music's a powerful force. I don't know this, but scholars tell me that Satan was in heaven. He was, before he was cast out of heaven, he was a minister. He was involved in music. Now, I'm not that intelligent, but that's what I've understood. I don't know that for a fact, but I do know that he was cast out of heaven as of lightning from heaven. Now, listen, I'm trying not to get on rock and roll stuff too much, but I'm having trouble getting away from it. There's a satanic power out there. I'm so paranoid about it. Those symbols that they use, I don't even let them around my house. My wife had a pick one time that she picked her hair with. It had one of them symbols, and I broke it out. Didn't I? She didn't know it was in it. She just bought this pick to pick her hair with. I looked, and there one of them symbols. That broke the thing out of there. Y'all can go home, make a judgment on this preacher, but I'm telling you right now, church, it makes a difference what you see. Can I tell you right now, Christians, listen to me. Listen to me real good. It makes a difference what really motivates your life, what consumes your mind, what you want to be a part of, what you want to watch. Hello? I'm going to step out here and be really crazy. There's a lot of things that Walt Disney does. You better be careful what your kids get involved in. Oh, my gosh, you're going to be preaching on clothesline. Next thing, preacher, well, hang on, you never know. If God says it, I'll preach it. Because these things will destroy your mind. Not only destroy your mind, it'll get a grip on you spiritually and destroy your family like you've never seen before in your life. Get it out. He said, you've not turned loose of all this junk. You've not turned loose of all this Baalworth. You're still hanging on that. You're still committing fornication. He said, you're still eating idol food that's not supposed to be. Why are you still involved in those things? He said, you're going to have to get away from that because where you're at is making a difference. I want our kids, listen, I want our kids to realize this, that this is not some kind of magical fairy tale out there. And I can tell you one thing else. These werewolves and things along that line, I don't find no connection with the Bible. Preaching real good now, preacher. Amen. It's time we get up and say, listen, we're going to realize where we're at. We're going to realize what battle we're in. We've got to realize that it makes a difference what we're connected with. I won't be connected with those things. I don't want no part of those things. And listen, you say, preacher, all these things happen. This is just the world we live in. You bet it's the world we live in. And I can tell you right now, if I'm born again, blood bought, the word says I'm not of this world. Oh, you're going to have to let loose and kind of let God be God, preacher. You're going to have to loosen up a little bit, quit preaching so much on sin. Your congregation will grow. It might do it, but I'm not going to change from preaching sin. I'm not here to browbeat you, but I'm here to warn you today. It makes a difference in what you're involved in. It makes a difference in where you're sitting. It makes a difference in what you see. It makes a difference in what you hear. That's why Paul said, he's over in Timothy. He said, think on the pure things, the good things, the good report. Think on these things. Now, when you have been involved in these things of this world, and listen, there's folks out there that's been bound by sin, and I can tell you right now, God doesn't look down at you and say, or those that's been out there and say, oh, I can't believe what you've done. He looks at the blood. When we come and accept Christ, that means the blood has been applied. Does that mean we're perfect? No, that means that we're striving for perfection through the blood of Christ. None of us perfect. You think you're perfect, you're fooling yourself. Antipas was a martyr. History says that he died a death in a burning, brazing bull. You know why? It's because he lived a life for God. It wasn't because that he was perfect. It was because he lived a life for God. Now, I know this is a strong issue. People say churches don't need to be involved. This is not a political party out there. I'm not going for some kind of candidate. That's between you and God. Hey, man, that's up your business. But this wet and dry issue, I still think Boone County needs to be dry, totally dry. Hello? I said, find me something that Jim Beam's done good. I said this last, find me something Jim Beam's done good for somebody, or Jose Crevo or whatever his name is. How many knows Jose? I don't know him. Tell me one thing they've done good. I can tell you right now, I can count you many, many things they've done bad for folks. They've caused splits in homes. They've caused divorces. They've caused drunk men or drunk women driving down the road to hit somebody head on and kill somebody else's family. They've caused livers to be turned into jelly and die because of what they've been drinking and putting in their system. Can I also say this? It not only is alcohol bad, what other things that we might have a habit that kind of does bad things for our health? Anybody with me? Is that a good thing? I say it's time we turn loose of those things. Hello, preaching real good now. Let's get a little bit closer. You say, well, I just don't know about that, preacher. God's a God. God's a love. God knows and he forgives. Yes, he does. But he doesn't want us doing things to hinder our body. How many knows what this body's for? Temple of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost dwells inside of me. Anybody got the Holy Ghost in you? Praise God. Praise God. There again, I get off on the subject of homosexuality. Boy, you say, my Lord, preacher, you ain't going to have nobody here next Sunday. Well, if the wife ain't sick and I ain't sick, I'll be here. We get off on the subject of homosexuality. I'm still talking about the Church of Pergamos. What we're involved in, where we're at. The good thing, you realize this? The good things they were doing right was superseded by the things they were doing wrong. He said, you're doing these things right, but I've still got somewhat you're going to have to work on here. You're going to have to get away from these things. You're going to have to separate. Why did the word say, but come out and be a separate people? Now listen, folks, you say, listen, you're just trying to just browbeat us over things. We're going to have to realize there's wrong and there's right out there. It's my place to say what's wrong because of the Word of God. If it lines up the Word of God, I've got to tell you about it. If I didn't love you, I'd just say, go on and do what you want to. Send me your money. Just do what you want to. Pat me on the back and brag on me. And if we raised our son that way, it'd be a bad deal, wouldn't it? when there's something wrong out there, when I seen some little something like yoga, and I said, son, don't be meditating on those kind of new age movement things out there, son. It's the wrong thing. It's not God. We're not little gods. We're born again, blood bought. We're not some kind of mind over matter thing. This is a God thing. Sister Ann, this is God does things. It's not me. It's not you. It's God. It's not because I can get so in such a being in a place that Oprah would say that I could be some God. No, that's not the word of God. Hello? I get on the stump and I preach about homosexuality and what a sin it is. How many knows it's a sin? Abomination unto God. Can I also tell you, there's more things out there we don't need to forget about. Fornication is a sin. There needs to be some purity in our young people. There needs to be some young people say, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to get involved in this. I'm going to ask God to give me strength over the desires of my life and the way God's designed me. And listen, we can do that. But can I also say this? Men and women, we're going to have to be careful how we talk when we're out amongst other people. Adultery is a sin. Had a guy tell me one time, he said, boy, he said, Brother Eddie, he said, pray for me. He said, the Lord told me to leave my wife, marry this other woman. I say, did? God is my witness. I said, well, what about your wife? What is she? Is she not, won't go to church with you? No, she's back, said, but she's got back to church, but the Lord told me to divorce her and marry this other woman. I said, he didn't tell you no such thing. I said, ain't God. God don't lie. God don't say something contrary to his word. Now, folks is out there bound by that seducing spirit of homosexuality. Can I tell you right now? Can I just say this while I'm out here? Nobody likes me. Listen, don't turn the garbage on your TV if you don't agree with it. There ain't nothing makes me sicker than to watch two men or two women kissing. Lord Jesus. That makes me sick thinking about it. Oh, you say you're getting too particular about this. Let me tell you what. Don't you dabble with it. It's a seducing power of the devil. And that spirit, listen, that's why they're teaching our young kids. And thank God our kids grown now. That's why they're teaching our little kids to accept and be, what's the word, Sister Marty? Tolerant. That's why they're teaching our kids to be tolerant. Because when little Jimmy has a Jack and a Jim as a mom and daddy, then that's why they're supposed to be tolerant. No, 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 no. Tolerance will send your soul to hell. It's not that we can say sin is okay. It's that we can say sin is sin and not back up from sin. Amen. We look at the homosexual. Listen to me. It's time we live a lifestyle of purity. It's time we abstain from the very appearance of evil and recognize there's a devil out there tied to that pool. Whew. He said, where are you sitting? Listen to me. Satan's seat's still there at Pergamos, but he said, there can be some changes. Only one way will change things. That's repentance will change things. Oh, you say, preacher, God doesn't work that way. He said, if you look upon a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Now, how much closer can that get? Are you trying to scare me, preacher? I'm trying to warn you this morning that there is a devil out there trying to destroy your home, trying to destroy your marriage, trying to destroy your mind, and he will do that if you're not careful. Whew. And I won't apologize now because I feel the anointing in this. If it's just Ed, I'll say, oh, forgive me. But when God's anointing's on, I'm not going to ask for your forgiveness. Because I want him pleased with me. Listen to me. Where we're sitting makes a difference where we sit. It makes a difference where we abide. And I can, you know, here's what. A seat can feel pretty good and not be a good seat. We've had some old tractors over here. Dad's got an old tractor. That thing is older. Older than I am by a long time. And it's got a little old metal seat. You look at that old seat and you think, my Lord, that ain't very comfortable. And it ain't. Besides that, you got everything you work on that thing, you got to use your arms. And that takes too much energy for me. I'd rather just push a button or pull a lever. Well, then we got this other tractor and it had this really comfortable looking seat. Had this cushion ride to it. I mean, it would go up and down. When you hit a bump, you just kind of. But if you look, that works good. Y'all like that kind of seat, don't you? It just kind of go up and down when you hit a bump because you could adjust it to your own weight, make it fit you just right. But you look at that seat, and that seat did not have any cushion. It was a metal seat, but I still loved sitting in that seat because it just kind of cushioned my ride. Now, if you don't know where I'm going with this, let me know. The seat of Satan, the seat of getting involved in the world and being conformed to the world. He said, be not conformed to this world. But the thoughts, the idea of being that you can feel kind of comfortable. You know why I can feel comfortable sometimes? Because the majority of the people you come in contact with are not Christians. How many Christians you run into out there? Not very many. Because when I was going to school, I can slightly remember that a little bit. When I was going to school, you know, I didn't fit in. And I can tell you, if you're a Christian, you don't fit into the world. Now, if you want to be miserable, try to fit into the church on Sunday and then fit into the world on Monday, and you're one miserable person. That seat will never ride right for you. But when you get in the seat of God, I'm going to try to close here. My Lord, I've been on that seat of Satan for a long time, hadn't I? There was pagan worship going on in that town, in that city. Zeus. List goes on. Four or five different things happening there. And why am I saying all these things about the world we live in? New Age movement is trying to destroy the church and the home, our kids' minds. Evolution's being taught to our kids that we come from monkeys. You can't judge it on how we act sometimes because we didn't come from monkeys. Anybody with me? Scientists can actually prove that that's wrong. We did not evolve from monkeys. Some idiot scientists out there think they can prove it. What was that crazy thing they come up with the other day on the Red Sea? They figured out how that happened. I didn't get to hear that documentary, but there was something said about the Red Sea when they crossed the Red Sea that they used them. The wind's done that. Winds probably did when God said blow. Stepped out on the bow of a ship, said, peace be still. If he could say peace be still, he could say, come on, wind, blow. I don't care what they say. They crossed on dry land and Pharaoh's army drowned behind them. They said, well, it was the water was real, wasn't very deep. Well, that's a greater miracle. He drowned in all those Pharaoh's armies in ankle deep water. How big is God? He's still God. Listen, don't be discouraged if you're fighting a battle this morning. Don't be discouraged if the battle's raging. Be encouraged that God is still God. If he can take a murderer like Saul and turn him around to Paul and write half the New Testament out there and see lives changed and miracles performed, he can change your life. He has changed my life, and he is still God. Praise God. He said to him, he said, you're going to have to repent. Listen, that's a word that some folks don't like to hear. Repentance is a good thing. It's a God thing, Sister Ann. Nothing wrong with not repenting. The wrong is comes when you don't repent. In John chapter 11, I'm not going to take time to read this, but John chapter 11 is talking about when Lazarus died. John chapter 12, in the first couple of verses there, Lazarus, how many remembers Lazarus? Now, this is what God will do when you trust God. Church of Pergamos had these issues to deal with. And I feel safe in my spirit to say this morning, some of these things I've talked about this morning, you've probably been involved in. You may have had things happen. And I want to say another warning to you parents out there. Be careful what your kids get involved in. Can't get away from that, can I? If they call them goody two-shoes and little Johnny be good and whoever, whatever, don't worry about that. It's going to be okay in the end. I remember in William's earlier years, he said, I don't have any friends. I said, son, be faithful and hold out and God will move in your behalf. I hated to tell him that, but that was the truth. And folks, God has not that our son is anybody special. Please don't take me wrong. He can fall and fail and backslide and go to hell today. God forbid. If he holds on to the nail-starred hand, he's going to make heaven. If your kids are bound in sin right now, hang on. That bloodstained banner still flies. It's not over till God says it's over. There's still hope. There's still a God that's prayed. God has given his life's blood that we can have life. Listen, it makes a difference where we're sitting. Lazarus was in there, hadn't done anything wrong, come up sick and died. Amen. He was stinking, been in there 4 days, I believe it was. And when Jesus comes on the scene, when he is on the scene, when he knows, listen, Jesus knows where we're sitting. A lot of parents fooled a lot of kids fooled a lot of parents. Probably a lot of parents fooled a lot of kids too. But you know what? God knows what we need. And as we find this, Lazarus found himself dead. He was dead and stinking. But where he was sitting, who he was involved in, who he was sitting with, the atmosphere he was in, those that he abode with made a difference. Who was it? Jesus. And as Jesus found himself and come to the tomb, you know what happened? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And as Lazarus come forth, there was grave clothes still on him. He said, loose him and set him free. How many is glad that the Lord can still set us free? Amen. Free, free indeed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, praise God. The devil is trying to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Don't be discouraged when you're in the battle. I can't keep him getting away from Jeremy. Still praying for Jeremy. How many still praying for Jeremy? I have no doubt the devil is bombarding that boy's mind right now. Have no doubt. How many knows how the devil works? He tries to pull us back and where we came from. That's just how he works. He tries to back up and pull back and pull down. But God is a God that brings us up and lifts us up. Even, listen, if there's anybody, listen, anybody knows what kind of battle you're going through? Jesus knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows the battle you're facing. But now listen, he said to Lazarus, come forth. He come forth out of that grave. And as he come forth, he had still had grave clothes wrapped on him. He said, loose him and set him free. And the first verse of the 12th chapter of John, you'll find that there Jesus was, Mary and Martha. They made a big dinner and he's sitting there at the table with Jesus. Amen. Went through the battle, went through the loss, went through the dying, and praise be unto God. Jesus brought him through. How many believes the Lord will bring you through this morning? Praise God. Listen, I talked a lot about sin and things that will bring us down, but I can tell you right now, everything I talked about, whether it be alcohol, drugs, it doesn't matter. Amen. By the blood of Jesus, we can be set free. Jeremy's been doing better, and he's going to come through. Amen. It's going to be a victory like he's never seen before. Anybody looking for a victory? Because of Jesus, because of dwelling with him, because of trusting him, it makes a difference in the outcome. If we if we sit at Satan's seat and say, I just don't think I'm going to change, listen, that's where we'll be. And only on top of that, there's going to be sad days ahead. But if we are struggling and striving to serve God, listen to me, it's going to make a difference when God is on your side. Jesus said, as he's sitting at the table with him, supping and dining with him. How many remembers in Psalms 23? He said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of my enemy. The Lord said he'd do that for you. So in the very midst of your battle, he'll prepare a spiritual table that you can feast and have strength, even in the weakest of your weakest. Praise God. Musicians, come. I got one more scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4 says, but God... Might ought to mark this down in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together to make us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Stand with me if you would. I know that I have got on subject that might be controversial. You may not agree with me tonight, this morning, and that's okay. But you pray about it. But I want to focus this morning on what the Lord will do for you and what he will do in this battle that we're in. As we've turned to him, as he said to Pergamos, he said, repent. As we have turned to him, he gives us strength and he will lift us up and set us in places with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you this morning. Lord, I ask that you would move and remainder this service, Lord. Touch lives here today. Strengthen lives this morning, Lord. We want to praise you, Lord, and just ask that you would move in this altar service today. Strength, Lord, we pray. Hallelujah. If one doesn't know you, speak to their heart. Strength, Lord, in this service today, Lord. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. As they begin to sing...